Nemine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Bit of a schedule change just for today, which means that we all will get to hear a little bit about the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. And this is where John is questioned by the Pharisees, "Who art thou?" And this follows last Sunday's gospel, where John has sent disciples to question Christ. So there's a parallel we see here, right? A kind of a progression. John in prison sends disciples to Christ to question, "Who art thou?" And now in this gospel, Pharisees send disciples to John to ask, "Who art thou?" Right? So that the church does this on purpose, right? There are reasons that these readings are selected. And furthermore, John the Baptist, the readings of John the Baptist, they go from the second Sunday of Advent to the fourth, three gospel readings in a row for the Sundays, all about John the Baptist, and they go from back to front. Right, the first reading we hear about is the death of John the Baptist. The last event in John's life is the first reading we hear about. And then now the second one, which is the beginning of his proclamation, or the middle of it. And then next week, the next Sunday, fourth Sunday, you hear when John's beginning of John's prophecy. And there's a whole sermon there on why that happens, but that's not the point of the day, right? Just pointing it out, right? It's there. But today, the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, there are all kinds of prophecies being fulfilled and discussed and referenced in the gospel. And so we're going to see those. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, something like that. It won't be too long, but it's important to know these. So, at that time, the Jews sent to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed, and he said, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "No." "And art thou the prophet?" And he said, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." So we've got the Christ, we've got Elias, we've got the prophet, and we have a voice of one crying in the wilderness. There's four different people being discussed in this gospel, or this gospel reading. And they say, "Well, how come you're baptizing if you're not the Christ or Elias or the prophet?" And they didn't say, they didn't recognize the voice of one crying in the wilderness. What does that mean? They didn't understand. They didn't know their scriptures. And he says, "I baptize with water, but there is one who has stood in the midst of you whom you know not. The same as he is preferred after me." So he's speaking of the Christ. And then these things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. That's not insignificant. Why is that significant? We'll find out. Okay, so where are these prophecies coming from? Let's go to Malachi. So we go to Malachi, chapter 3, and he's prophesying about the coming Messiah, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, see, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you will seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So right there is the prophecy about St. John the Baptist. Here is the messenger. Now, why didn't the Jews get that? "The day of the Lord is coming." This is Malachi 4. "Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse." So this is where the Jews were expecting. They were expecting Elijah, and they conflated Elijah with the messenger. Right, they got that too, the one who will prepare the way of the Lord, or that's going to be Elijah. Well, it wasn't, but it was somebody with the spirit of Elijah, which we get from Luke chapter 1. This is the angel Gabriel speaking to Zechariah. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make a people prepared for the Lord." So right there, Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist is the messenger who is going to prepare people with the spirit of Elijah, right? In Malachi it said, "I will send the prophet Elijah." So we have John with the spirit of Elijah preaching and doing these things, and he is the messenger making straight the way of the Lord. Now, interestingly, I've said before that God will do multiple prophecies, but he always fulfills them. So when he says he's going to do something, he does it. So he sent the messenger. He sent him with the spirit of Elijah. But Elijah also did come before the day of the Lord. Do we remember when that was? It was on the transfiguration of the mount. And who appeared to Christ? Moses and Elijah, right? So Elijah did come physically. He came before the day of the Lord, which was our Lord's sacrifice on the cross when our Lord triumphed. So this is the problem of the Jews. They don't want to know exactly what's going to happen before it happens. And then I say, okay, who are you? Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? Because God is going to do this, then he's going to do this, then he's going to do this, and then you don't know what God's going to do, right? These prophecies are not so that you can figure out and game the system before it happens so you can know exactly what's going on. Prophecies are so that after it happens, you look back and you say, there it was, this was the fulfillment. What do we do in the meantime? We make ready our hearts, prepare it for the way of the Lord. And go back and read Malachi chapter, well, the whole thing. It's only four chapters. And this is Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament before the New Testament. The Jews were not right in the sight of the Lord. They were not giving good offerings. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, oh, how have we wearied the Lord? By saying, all who do evil are good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Will anyone rob God? But you are robbing me. You say, oh, how are we robbing you? All Malachi is complaints against the people. They're hypocrites, they're liars, and these are the Pharisees, these are the Jews, these are the priests, and so on, right? God's hierarchy has always had problems. So that's what you do. You don't sit there and you try to think, like, how can we figure out, like again, like I said, what God's going to do. Figure out what I'm doing, right? What am I doing, and is my heart right with God? Instead of trying to read in the scriptures and know exactly what it is and impress people with all kinds of, like, oh, the Lord's going to do this or that. No, be ready, right? That's kind of our current problem. What's going to happen with the election? What's going to happen here? Why doesn't the Pope do this? What would you hear the latest thing Vigano said? They shouldn't worry us, right? We can know about it, but it's like we're trying to figure out what's going to happen ahead of time. We shouldn't be doing that, right? We're going to fall into the same trap as the Pharisees, and then we're going to miss it. Christ is going to come, and we're not going to know. We're going to have missed his messenger. So I mentioned another one. There was the, he's not Elias, he's not the Christ, he's preparing the way for the Christ. And they say, are you the prophet? What does that mean? What do they mean? Who's the prophet? What's that supposed to be talking about? This is from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God, and this is Moses had led the children of Israel out of the desert. He's done all kinds of prodigies and wonders, and the Red Sea, and the manna from heaven, and the water from the rock, and the ground opening up and swallowing people, and all kinds of things. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you shall heed such a prophet. So this is Moses speaking to the Israel, the children. And then the Lord replied to me, I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words of the prophet that he shall speak in my name, I myself will hold them accountable. So the people from ever since Moses have been waiting for the prophet. Well, who is this prophet? Many prophets arose, right, after Moses. But here we have at the end of Deuteronomy, this is Deuteronomy 34:10. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and the entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. So this little epilogue was written many, many years after Moses had passed on, right? You had Joshua, you had Judges, and a prophet had not arisen. God promised, I will send a prophet through Moses, right? Moses said, God will send a prophet like me. When is that going to happen? Who's that prophet going to be? That's what they were asking John the Baptist. Are you this prophet that's going to come after Moses? Are you he? You're not Elias. You're not the Christ. You're not the Messiah. Are you the prophet? No. Who was the prophet after Moses? It was Christ. Christ is the one who's the fulfillment of Moses. And that's why Moses appears on the Transfiguration with Elias. Right? There's Moses. There's Elias. Elias came before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Moses, the previous lawgiver, was now in the presence of the new lawgiver, who was the law. Right? The word was written on stone tablets. That was the law. And now here the word was written in flesh. There's the law. So there, that is the fulfillment of this prophecy from Deuteronomy, of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi. And John the Baptist was the messenger preparing the way for all these things. So that is what's contained in the third Sunday of Advent, all those scriptural prophecies. And remember when I said, when were these things done? In Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Beyond the Jordan River was when Moses stopped and Joshua took the people across the Jordan into Israel. And John was on the other side. John was on the Moses side of the Jordan. And he baptized Christ, and Christ went back to the other side of the Jordan. And so we have kind of foreshadowing of the fulfillment of the prophet like Moses coming along. And by the way, Joshua is the same name as Jesus. It means, it's Yeshua. Yeshua means Jesus. Yeshua means Joshua. So after Moses, then comes Joshua leading the people across the Jordan, prefiguring John the Baptist, preparing the way for that Savior, who is Jesus, who comes over the Jordan, and then after he's baptized, he crosses back and leads people into the Promised Land. So this is a quick survey. As I said many times before, I'm condensing like a semester of biblical studies into about 15 minutes. So if you feel like, that's okay, right? But I want you to know that it's here, right? Where else are we going to hear this? You all can't go to seminary. Good luck finding a decent biblical institution. So I'm giving you these altoids of scriptures, right? It's small, it's concentrated. But I want you to know that it's here so that when you're reading the Bible, which everybody should be doing, right? You get a plenary indulgence for reading 30 minutes of the Bible every day. That you know where these things are, and you can make references and things. There are good biblical studies out there. We have the Augustine Institute here in Denver. There are good things from there. But I want you to just do that. Start reading the Bible, knowing these prophecies are here, and not worrying, right? Don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. Worry about what's happening right now, right? Is my soul going to be ready for whatever God allows, right? That's all we have to be worried about. So prepare your hearts, make straight the way of the Lord. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.